the Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live.
It's good Monday. Thanks for being with us. We will have John Wilner, Wilner Hotline, on a national championship game being set between Ohio State and Notre Dame. Very excited for that. John will be dropping knowledge here coming up at 10:15. At the bottom of the hour, it's the original Seth Joyner, the first ever NFL Network analyst, former Cardinal, three-time Pro Bowler, and is in Philadelphia doing a lot. I want to catch up with Seth. He's always great on what goes on in the NFL playoffs and with Philly in particular. A.J. Brown reading a book. If you didn't see this, you're like, what are you talking about? I love the fact that A.J. Brown of the Eagles was reading a book during yesterday's game. I love that. Opening comments are brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business as always and through the years. That's Desert Financial Credit Union. I had lunch with Jeff Meshee the other day. He's a good dude. We do appreciate their support. The A.J. Brown story dominated everything for me. I know you're like, that shows me how in depth of a sports dude you are. So you have to have a little bit of fun with this. This is a brain surgery. We'll get into Ohio State and Notre Dame. We'll get into the rest of the playoffs. I don't know if the Rams are going to play well tonight. I'm going to talk to Seth about that. I don't know. Oh my gosh, the Rams have taken our stadium over nonsense is nonsense. Every team that comes to Arizona takes over the stadium, if we're being truthful about it. And this is the right thing for the NFL to do, but I don't know if the Rams can focus. You know, the distraction side, the mental side, I don't know if those dudes are getting calls right now of a friend or a family member that lost a home. Do you? None of us know. So they're going to do the best they can do. And on the other side of the street, is Minnesota real? Or are they a team that is starting to do the postseason? Looks great during the regular season. And then it gets into the postseason and it just all fizzles out. So we'll get into that. I did watch like every NFL playoff game. Even Buffalo beating up on Denver was compelling for a half. If you're a Denver Bronco fan, you have Bo Nix. Kenny Dillingham's part of the whole Bo Nix story. So I look at it that way. And yeah, Buffalo did what they were supposed to do. They rolled them. Philadelphia did what they were supposed to do against Green Bay. And Jalen Hurts gets all this hate, and the Eagle defense comes alive, and Saquon Barkley is Saquon Barkley. And I'm surprised by Saquon Barkley. I really am. I'll talk to Seth about that. And then the Washington-Tampa Bay game was as good as any. Like the Chargers-Houston game, meh. Steelers-Ravens, meh. I know that's big to those fan bases. To me, it was just like, if you couldn't see, I was surprised at how poor the Chargers were. But again, does that speak to what was going on back home? I think there's something to that. We'll see if we're right tonight or not. Rams may come out and crush them, and I'm completely wrong. I am rooting for Jaden Daniels. Anybody who's rooting against Jaden Daniels, that's a you problem. Why would you root against Jaden Daniels for leaving here in the middle of the bleep storm? His teammates in the locker room weren't in his corner. He wasn't making money. He had no shot at winning. And so he leaves. And yeah, the thing spiraled out of control, but these vitriol of, you know, oh, Jaden Daniels, he's no good, he's this. Life's too short. Life is just too short. And by the way, he's really good. He is. Let me ask you something. Would you rather have Jaden Daniels or Kyler Murray on your team right now? If you were to go up and down the quarterbacks in the NFL and say, would you rather have Jalen Hurts or Kyler Murray? Would you rather have Brock Purdy or Kyler Murray? Would you rather have, and just play that game all the way, Dak Prescott or Kyler Murray? I can make the argument for Kyler in some of those cases. But I don't think anybody can make the argument that Jaden Daniels is, there's something charismatic about him. He's fresher. He's younger. He goes about his business. I'm totally impressed with him. And I liked him when he was here. One of my favorite Jaden Daniels stories is this is when NIL had just started. We're Pac-12 Media Day out in Los Angeles. And Chris Peterson, our photographer at the time, and I, we get Jaden, and I get a call while we're talking from Venezia's, one of our partners. Yeah, don't tell anybody, we're gonna unveil the JD5. Jaden's gonna have his own pizza, we're gonna pay him. And I said, well, I'm right here at Media Day. If I talk to him about it, can you make one? Can you put something, some photos together? I'm gonna talk to him about the next 30 minutes about it. It's like Kayvon Thibodeau was there at the time. He's with the Giants now. He was at Oregon. And we're talking about his NIL, he had these sunglasses on, this and that. And Kayvon Thibodeau says, when Uncle Phil calls, you take the call. He's talking about Phil Knight, right? It's very funny. So I finish with Thibodeau on NIL. That's the angle I'm taking. And Jaden walks in. I said, so what's going on with NIL? Well, I'm working on some things. I said, well, my understanding is your pizza is being unveiled today. It is? I said, yeah, the JD5. Oh, shoot, Brad. Wasn't putting him on the spot. It's just be ready. You know, if you're going to do NIL, do NIL. And he sold lots of pizzas and people are excited about it. It's like Burrito Express this year with Camp Scataboo. You find the opportunity, you take it, you run with it. It's college kids and it's food. It's not that hard. So I've always liked Jaden. Even back when they played, where were we? We were in Vegas and Jaden was in high school. And I met him in the lobby at the hotel when ASU played, I believe it was Fresno State. And I believe Todd Graham had been fired. I believe this all to be true. Well, I know I met him in Vegas. And he was already working on the board, like working behind the scenes with Antonio and what he was going to do. So I'm cheering for the games were compelling. The college football, and we'll have John Wilner here momentarily, so I'll keep this one a little bit shorter. I love the CFP. I prefer college football over the NFL from August until we get to now. Because the NFL just gets ratcheted up about 20 times what it is in a game in October. And it just does. And so when you watch college football and you're in September and Notre Dame gets blown out by Northern Illinois and everybody, including me and John, said there's no way they're going to make it except they're Notre Dame, brand name, big TV ratings and all that. So here's Notre Dame, which has been a hated team through the year. People hate Notre Dame, but I found through the years that people hate Ohio State. Unless you go to Ohio State, there's just this air of arrogance that's like, oh my gosh, you're just too much. You're a lot. Let's leave it at that. And so here you have Notre Dame. I'm rooting for Notre Dame. I'm not rooting against Ohio State. Not rooting against. I'm rooting for Notre Dame. I love the story. I love what Marcus Freeman has been able to done. Wow, what do you mean you're not rooting against them? Nah, it's like this is great. Ohio State's supposed to win. They're supposed to win. I'm not going to sit there next Monday night and say, oh, come on, Notre Dame. Come on. Oh, my gosh. What a terrible play. I'm not going to sit here and do what a lot of podcasting is doing now. Get six dudes sitting at their couch. They have their hats on backwards. They're drinking beer. It's all the same. It's fine. And they all, you know, hug it out. Oh, my gosh, this is so terrible. And that'll give way to something else. And it'll give way to something else. It'll give way to something else. You don't cheer in my space. So you can find the people that are real or the people that are just bro dudes doing their thing. And that's just me. I think Marcus Freeman in the NFL, I don't know if that would be a good fit if he went to the Chicago Bears. Bears reportedly are interested in him. But I know that I like what he's done there. There's the local angle in this game, and we'll talk about it later in the week. But the one that's very interesting now is Tosh Baker starting at left tackle for Notre Dame. You'd be like, Brad, what? Huh? Who? So Tosh Baker was at Pinnacle High School here in the Valley. I went and watched Tosh play basketball, 6'8", 300 some odd pounds, and just motor up and down the court. And I'm texting my friends, first time I ever saw him play, wow, what an impressive athlete. Now, as a grad student, he's been a backup, and he's been thrust into, he's going to start at left tackle. That is going to be a storyline that will be focused on all week long. The fires out in L.A. So Gary Hall Jr., and we've done stuff with Gary in the past, actually went down to Isla Morada, Florida with him to his swim academy. He lost all of his Olympic medals. He lost his house. Steve Kerr's mom lost the house that Steve grew up in. J.J. Redick, the Lakers coach, lost his house. So I think that having a little bit of grace with some people, and that dials into tonight. Tonight, if the Rams don't play well, it's like, oh my gosh, Rams just weren't ready to play. I don't know. You tell me, can you go do your job if your house is burning down or your friends or your family have been evacuated and you have to go do your thing? Yeah, but they get paid all this. That doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. A.J. Brown reading a book during the game. We'll talk to Seth Joyner about that, because Seth covers and crushes the Eagles. Seth's in about 15 minutes. But John Wilner is next. I'm Brad Sussmat. John Wilner now with us, nationally syndicated columnist, Wilner Hotline, right here on sports360az.com. You can read all of his content. He has a cast of characters, and I mean characters as well, that are part of the content. All right, John, so here we are with the national championship game in place, and I think that this has worked out almost perfectly for the national audience. I don't think this has worked out perfectly for the CFP. I don't think it's worked out perfectly for those that are in decisions in different conferences. So I think there's going to be changes, but the fan has to be thrilled with this.
You'd think Notre Dame and Ohio State are two huge brands. I mean, maybe the biggest, right? Notre Dame has arguably got the most tradition in the sport. Ohio State is the ratings machine of all schools. Certainly ESPN is ecstatic, right? That's a ratings bonanza for them. I think it's worked out real well. Interesting that both teams played in the first round. Neither team won its conference championship. Notre Dame doesn't have a conference, and Ohio State didn't even qualify for the Big Ten title. And both teams were seeded lower than their ranking because of the way the whole process works. But certainly Ohio State is the most talented team, and Notre Dame has just been terrific since the loss to Northern Illinois.
I think part of the love of college sports is, and sports in general, is there's hatred. There's hatred. A team walks in and it's boo, okay?
Yep.
Both these teams are not ones you would look at and say the national fan base has ever loved Notre Dame or the national fan base has ever loved Ohio State. So here's two very unlikable programs. Who's more likable in this game, John?
Yeah, there have been a lot of commentary about how Marcus Freeman has made Notre Dame likable after all those years with Charlie Weiss and Lou Holtz and certainly Brian Kelly. That's a great question. I think that it's probably split. Part of it is they both have interesting stories to their seasons in terms of coming back from terrible losses. Mm-hmm. Notre Dame's terrible loss from Northern Illinois and Ohio State's terrible loss from Michigan. I'm not going to say either is a sympathetic figure in this whole thing because they are obviously machines when it comes to college football. But you could make the case that they are more likable than either program has been in a long time because of, you know, the arcs of their seasons, and especially Ohio State coming back from that just abominable loss to Michigan and everybody calling for Ryan Day to get fired.
Yeah.
So it's very interesting how the whole thing has turned.
I would say, though, that, look, Ohio State was very open about we have $20.5 or we have $20 million in our NIL. We are the Ohio State. We are this and we are that. Notre Dame, in the meantime, it's just kind of gone about their business. You and I made fun of them back when they lost to Northern Illinois, and I think you brought it up. I probably followed your tail. Is they're still going to be there right at the end because it's Notre Dame. And so here yep. they are. I feel like there's more of the country that's going to be into rooting for the Irish than there will be. If you're a Buckeye fan, I get it. But there's not a chance anybody else in the Big Ten is going to say, oh, my God, I'm Michigan. I'm going to root for Ohio State. That's not happening, John. So I think Notre Dame is a fan favorite in this one.
could be, and they're also the underdog, and they're a huge underdog. I think the point spread is 9.5 or 10. So there's naturally a component of the viewing audience that roots for the underdog, and in this case, Notre Dame is a huge underdog, and that doesn't happen very often. We have seen them get butchered in the playoff before, right? They got beat badly by Alabama in the championship game. They lost badly in a semifinal matchup. And this could be a little bit different. I would not be surprised if they actually, you know, play Ohio State pretty tough.
Do you have a compelling storyline or two you want to share?
About this game in particular?
Yeah.
Well, the biggest thing, I think, from the broadest 40,000-foot perspective is Marcus Freeman is the first black coach to reach the national championship game, play for to potentially win the national title. And to me, that is a big story in a sport that has been by far, you know, when you compare to the NBA, the NFL even, certainly college football has been the slowest to change and evolve on the diversity front in terms of the hiring process, right? I mean, there black coaches have had some top jobs. I mean, Tyrone Willingham was at Notre Dame, right? But generally speaking, it has been far behind college basketball, NBA, even the NFL in that. So the fact that Freeman is coaching for the national championship, I think, is a huge deal, and hopefully will lead to other schools being more comfortable hiring black coaches, right? A lot of this is a generational issue, right? The athletic directors and presidents, for the most part, and the powerful members of the boards of trustees, the big donors, most of them born before the civil rights era, less comfortable, I think, with diversity at their leading position. But slowly we're changing, where ADs and even presidents are getting a little bit younger and are more comfortable. That's the biggest thing, is the people who are in position to hire haven't been comfortable with black coaches at too many spots, certainly in the SEC.
Win or lose, is he still the coach at Notre Dame next year, or do you think the NFL, there's already reports about the Bears coming out?
Yeah, right, I saw that. And, you know, the Bears are run by Kevin Warren, the former Big Ten commissioner.
Right.
I have to think he's going to be at Notre Dame for a few more years. Certainly he's not a lifer there. And the other interesting piece is he's coaching against his alma mater. He played linebacker for Ohio State, you know, 15 years ago. So that's I find that compelling as well. I don't think he's going to jump this year, but in 3 years, 5 years, if Notre Dame stays at this level, I think he will be an NFL coach at some point, for sure.
Okay, flip it around. You have a coach at Ohio State that was 6 feet under with dirt being thrown on him.
Yeah.
The end of November. And here he is. And, you know, the coaching carousel, I don't know if he's an NFL guy or not. But there's a lot of jobs that are open on the NFL level right now. And until those jobs are filled, they are going to look at college coaches. Ryan Day, a lifer at Ohio State, I can't see it myself. What do you think?
If you got it good at Ohio State, there's no other college job, right? There's no step up from there. So it would be the NFL, or he stays in Columbus. I don't know. He doesn't strike me necessarily as an NFL coach. And the other piece to that is, you know, he played for Chip Kelly at New Hampshire. They are super close. He was on Kelly's staff in San Francisco with the Niners when everything went haywire for Chip. So he has experienced the bad side of the NFL. I think that will have an impact on him and his course in the future. I could see him more. He doesn't strike me like Freeman does as being an NFL coach. I think Day is more likely to be an NFL lifer. But I thought all these jobs were going to Deion, from what I've read, right? Deion is interested in this. He's interested in that. I mean, it's only a matter of minutes before he leaves Boulder, isn't it?
Yeah, no, you're right. He has fun with us. He gives us lots of ink and lots of hot air that doesn't have much merit to it. I think there's a lot of strategy.
There's a question, though. Who's in the NFL first, Marcus Freeman or Deion?
That's a good one. I think Deion doesn't have nearly as good a job, obviously. It's Colorado. But you look at both of them and the trajectory of their program. If there was ever a point in time for Deion Sanders to jump and be with his kids, although he puts up on social over the weekend, okay, now I'm here to coach you guys. My kids aren't here anymore. So I don't know. The game itself, who do you like? Why do you like? Notre Dame, Ohio State national champ game next Monday.
I think Ohio State is the best team, and when they're hitting on all cylinders, they're probably the best team by multiple touchdowns. They beat Texas by 14, and they played poorly, right? They had a whole bunch of bad penalties, a crucial personal foul penalty that really stalled their momentum early. I like Ohio State to win, but Notre Dame has been tough despite their injuries. They are very resilient. They're very, very well coached by Freeman and his coordinators. I think it's going to end up being close, but I like the Buckeyes. Ohio State's defense is next level. Now, there's a blueprint. Notre Dame has got a clear blueprint for how to slow down Ohio State. Michigan used it. Texas used it. You got to keep Jeremiah Smith from beating you. You got to keep everything in front of you with zone and make them go 5 yards at a time, which speaks to how poorly Oregon was coached in the Rose Bowl, that they didn't do the same thing. So I think Notre Dame's got a blueprint to keep them contained. I just don't know that Notre Dame's going to be able to score enough on Ohio State's defense, which is just phenomenal. So to me, this feels like, you know, 27-20, 24-17, something in that range. It'll be competitive at least through the into the fourth quarter. I don't see a blowout, but it's going to Ohio State will have to contribute to its own demise, I think, in order for Notre Dame to win.
That's a good way to put it. I'll let you go off that. John Wilner, Wilner Hotline. Thanks.
Thanks very much, Brad.
Look, when I need knowledge dropped on me, I go to the original. That is Seth Joyner, the original NFL Network analyst, the three-time Pro Bowler, former Arizona Cardinal, doing a lot of great work, not just in Philadelphia, but looking at the NFL as a whole, and wanted to have Seth on for a few minutes because I know there are times that when Seth Joyner played, he had a book with him, and he'd sit on the bench, and he'd be reading a book like A.J. Brown did. Seth, I have to start there, unfortunately. Like, where do you come down on this?
So, man, this is a new era in football. We're seeing things on and off the field that we've never seen before. And, you know, whatever these guys have got to do, Brad, you know, in the moment to calm themselves, to have that woo-side moment or whatever it is that they got to do, you know, I guess everything's on the table now. I guess we've kind of seen it all. It's amazing, man.
When you first heard that, are you like, what? Because look, you're a spiritual guy. I'm a spiritual guy, but I'm not going to open up Proverbs during the middle of a show. I don't know. I mean, that's.
Hey, listen, I mean, you know, I guess no one would have a problem if he opened up his playbook on the sideline to get a little inspiration or, you know, to brush up on something. I guess if there's a quote or if there's something, you know, in the book at that moment that gives him peace in that moment, then, you know, hey, more power to him, I guess.
All right. Let's get that out of the way. Let's get on the field. Your Eagles look like they're playing as well as anybody in the NFL. There's no reason to believe that they're not going to be playing in the Super Bowl at this point, right?
I mean, you would think so. I mean, there's a lot of consternation in the city of Philadelphia based upon, you know, how the quarterback is playing. A lot of people, you know, are worried that that's going to be, you know, the thing that holds them back from, you know, the ultimate goal. But I just feel like, you know, when you're playing football, it's a team effort. You got a special teams, you got an offense, you got a defense for a reason. And when one area is not, you know, toeing the line, the other two have got to hold that area up until they kind of figure it out. It's an adjustment league. And teams have got to adjust on the fly. The defense is playing well. The special teams are doing what they need to do. And the quarterback did enough yesterday to get the job done. And in my opinion, that's all that matters. We're at that time of the year where it's win or go home. There's no next week. It's only next year. So I think that, you know, if you're a fan of the Philadelphia Eagles, you should be happy that they won the game and that your quarterback made plays when he needed to make them, considering that he's been out of football. He hasn't had but four passes, you know, in almost a whole month leading into last week's game.
It's not sexy, but the term survive in advance is very true at this time of year. So whatever the stat line looks like, Doesn't matter. People can bitch about it. People can be upset about it. But if you keep playing, you could be 12 of 30 and throw a couple picks. But if you win, yeah, you're still winning. And he's got a better stat line than that. I guess I'm wondering from your end, is Jalen Hurts accepted in Philadelphia completely and totally, or is that just not the case ever?
Well, listen, I mean, the expectations here are always off the charts. Very critical city, especially with sports talk radio and the media. And now with everyone having their own podcast, there's a lot of opinions that's being floated and thrown around. But the fact of the matter is the guys, he's flat out a winner. You know, everyone wants to talk about the job that Nick Sirianni is doing. I think he's like 49 and 19. During his tenure here, 4 years in a row in the playoffs, a trip to the Super Bowl and 3 points, you know, away from winning that Super Bowl. You know, if you're going to hang that on Nick Sirianni, the only quarterback he's ever known was Jalen Hurts. You got to hang that on him, too. But people seem to look for reasons to, you know, doubt his ability to get it done rather than, you know, dealing with what's real. You know, in the last 3 years, two out of the last 3 years, this football team has won 14 games. You know, last year before the epic, you know, collapse, this team was 10-1. You know, you can't put it all on the quarterback. You know, last year the defense fell apart. They weren't going anywhere the way that the defense was constructed, and they couldn't figure it out offensively. He led the team to the Super Bowl the year before last, and, you know, they just came up short. He outplayed Patrick Mahomes in that game. But the defense, you know, did him in the second half. My question is, what else do you want the guy to do? He simply wins, you know, and in a quarterback, that's all you want to have is a guy that wins. You can look back at last week's game. There was a lot of, quote unquote, really good quarterbacks, you know, they kind of crapped the bed, Brad. I mean, Justin Herbert had 3 interceptions the entire year, had 4 in 1 game. Jordan Love had, you know, three interceptions yesterday. You know, you got a lot of really good quarterbacks that are going home that don't have the ability to go to the next round to get it right for next week. Yet here we are on the precipice, you know, of being able to play in a divisional round with a chance to go to the NFC Championship, and people aren't talking about that possibility. They're talking about Jalen Hurts going 13 for 21, 131 yards total in passing, 2 touchdowns, took 2 sacks, and a 111 rating. Like, what more do you want? You know, why can't we just revel in the fact that we've got a chance to get to a Super Bowl instead of beating up your quarterback? He's going to be the quarterback. It is what it is.
Seth Joyner with us for a couple of minutes. Are you surprised by Saquon Barkley this season, top to bottom?
Everybody's a little surprised. I think we all thought that he was a great running back, but I don't think we really understood how great he could be behind the best offensive line in football. You know, what he's been able to do is just phenomenal. I mean, even yesterday he ground out, you know, 25 carries for 118 yards. Probably could have had more if he doesn't take the fall at the end there, yardage and stat-wise. But, you know, he's just a phenomenal talent, you know, just in every way, shape, fashion. You know, he's a generational running back that can block. He can catch it out of the backfield. He's dangerous every single time that he touches the ball. He's a threat to take it, you know, all the way to the house. And I got to give Howard Roseman a lot of credit, because I never thought in a million years that, you know, I would see him make that move and pay Saquon that kind of money the way that teams value running backs in the NFL to come to Philadelphia. But I think between him and Derrick Henry and the way that, that Josh Jacobs in a new environment this year, you even look at Connor down in Arizona, how well he ran the football. I think there's going to be a little bit of a reset in how we view the running game in the modern day of football.
Yeah, Seth Joyner's impressed. That takes a lot, I must say.
Hey, man.
You're hard.
Well, but you know why I'm impressed? Because, you know, I've been fighting this battle for years, you know, this new age football. Oh, you run the – it's a quarterback-driven league. You know, and I think a lot of that derived from the fact that the salaries among the quarterbacks were going up, 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 and up. So you moved away from running backs because just like, you know, Joe Schoen and Mr. Mara said, we're not going to pay the $40 million quarterback to hand off to the $12 million running back, you know. So now you've got these wide receivers that are $25 to $30 million, and you got these quarterbacks that are $40, $50, $60 million a year players. So somebody's got to take a back seat. But the precepts, you know, and the elements of football, in my opinion, they never change, no matter how much the data analytics and everybody else try to change it. If you can run the football and you can stop the run, you got a very good chance of winning football games. And I don't think that will ever, ever stop. That will ever change in the game of football, no matter how much they try to change the narrative, Brad.
All right, before I get you out of here, if you're in the space of the Rams and you're playing here against Minnesota and you've gone through all the upheaval and all the off-the-field stuff, and they've tried their best, Seth. They flew the families out. They flew their pets out. They tried everything. But would it surprise you if the Rams did come out and play a complete football game tonight, or just take the fans inside a locker room when you have big distractions like this? And distractions is an understatement. What are you expecting out of the Rams tonight against Minnesota over here?
Well, listen, I mean, it's not only a distraction for them, but it's a distraction for Minnesota. Minnesota's trying to overcome, you know, going to Detroit in week 18 and just getting shellacked and really having questions about, you know, was it fool's gold what we saw for 17 weeks or 16 weeks, you know, in our quarterback? Or is this truly, has he reverted to who he is? So, you know, there are some questions on that end for them. But yeah, the distractions can be, you know, a problem. It's how you deal with them and then how you reshift and how you refocus your mind and understand the importance of this game. I always talk about the playoffs in terms of heightened intensity, heightened focus, and your ability to, you know, let the game come to you instead of doing too much because of the finality of the game. You know, like I said before, there is no next week. There's only next year. You know, you're one and done. So you've got to do everything that you can do to narrow your focus, even in the midst of all the chaos that's going on around you. And there's a lot more, like you said, for the Rams than it necessarily is, you know, for Minnesota. Yeah, Minnesota's got to make the shift from having to go to L.A. to go to Arizona. But a lot of these guys are, you know, they're dealing with, they've got family members, and some of them, even some of the staff, Sean McVay spoke about it a couple of days ago, even some staff members have lost homes and have been impacted by this. So the distraction is real, and it's hard. It's hard to get yourself focused and locked in and keep your emotions on an even keel to begin with for a playoff game. This is just added, you know, outside distraction and white noise, you know, for a team that struggled through the year with a lot of injuries, but found themselves towards the end of the year. It looked like they're playing a lot of good football, and they can get focused. I give them a chance to beat Minnesota. I still think Minnesota wins the game. They can right the ship, but I do believe that it's not one of those situations, Brad, where I say, you know, the Rams don't have a shot. They certainly have a shot.
Who would the Eagles rather play? It's a fan question. Fans always, oh, we'd rather play this. Rather play that. This team's easier than that. This time of year, does that really matter? Throw it out the window. Who's the better matchup, maybe, is the better question for Philly.
To your point, you asked, you said the fans. You know, the fans are always going to have an opinion. I think as a player, if I put my player hat back on,
sure,
and I say to myself, you know, we're in the playoffs. I don't care who we play. You know, we're going to have to play someone. You know, I don't look at any one of these teams. And even though the Eagles faced the Rams and beat them earlier in the year, Saquon rushed for 255 yards against them, had two long 70 plus yard runs. I don't feel like, you know, the players look at it from the standpoint of, oh, we would rather play them or rather play them.
Yeah.
Next up, whoever the next obstacle is that prevents you from getting to the NFC Championship, you don't care who it is. You do the work during the week, you prepare, you do what you got to do. And, you know, when the rubber meets the road, Sunday at 3 o'clock Eastern time, you roll it out there and you do what you got to do to the best of your ability, man.
Yeah, control what you can control. I appreciate your time and insights as always. Stay safe. Thanks.
Thank you, Brad. Always good to be with you, my friend.
There is Seth Joyner, the original, as I like to call him, the NFL Network's original analyst, three-time Pro Bowler, former Cardinal, and we're back with more after this timeout.